This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. We are on the cusp of a very, very busy month here in Iceland and here at RÚV as well, as we have a presidential election coming up and a competitive one. They haven't always been competitive. Some elections have actually not really happened. We've had unopposed presidents returning to the presidential residence. That is not going to happen this time, of course. The current president has decided that he's not going to continue, and that has left the field wide open for a total of 11 confirmed candidates. Let's see where we are in more detail with my colleague Stígur Helgason. Stígur, hello.
Hello.
This is nominally the week in Iceland, but for you, the last week has been dominated entirely by the presidential election campaign. So let's start with Friday and what happened on Friday. The people who wanted to be candidates, they went down to Harpa in the centre of Reykjavik and they handed over the signatures of support that they'd collected.
Yes, and other necessary documents that they had to file and turn in. 13 showed up, two of whom, let's be honest, no one had ever heard of before, and no one knew were trying to be in the running.
I think even until the Friday, people didn't think that.
I mean, okay, so we have to rewind a bit because for the first time, the what we call landskjörstjórn, what's the English name for that? the national committee of elections, basically.
Yes, the electoral commission.
The electoral commission, That they, for the first time ever, it was possible to gather those 1,500 signatures online through Iceland.is. And what happened was that the list of names who were actually formally gathering signatures just kept getting longer and longer. I think in the end there were around 80 people collecting signatures online. And no one really knew, because earlier in the process it was actually easy to accidentally put your name on there.
And about a dozen people did, didn't they?
More than a dozen.
They ran for president by mistake.
Basically, the Electoral Commission doesn't want us to put it like that, because they were not running for president, of course, but they were collecting signatures.
Yes.
But
and of course, those people, we should just say, what they were into, what they were trying to do was to offer their signature in support of someone else, but they accidentally ended up collecting signatures.
Basically pressed the wrong button. And
then those two pages were moved further apart online to stop the mistake from happening again.
So no one really knew when you had like 80 names on there who was serious and who wasn't. And all we had to go from was basically the... if people had notified us somehow that they were actually in the running to become a become president, then we considered them candidates. I mean, if they had a press meeting or press release or something, but then there were dozens of other names on there.
But
those two guys, they were there. A guy called Kaure and another one called Viktor, and no one really expected any of those names, the people on this list, to actually show up to Harpa. They just considered them not in the running. But there they were, those two guys.
Okay, but those two were determined not to have sufficient signatures by the Monday, by yesterday.
Yeah, and actually I think basically the day after, they were disqualified and not even given a chance to make it right, which some other candidates were. If they were lacking like 10 or 20 signatures, they were given a chance to just go out and collect those who they lacked. But they were just disqualified outright.
Now, I was actually asked, as I was telling you before we switched on the microphones, I was asked at a swimming pool, indeed, a couple of weeks ago, if I would sign a document or if I would sign the sort of petition of support for one of the now 11 candidates. I didn't in the end, and I won't obviously mention which one it was. But there was a campaign, wasn't there, quite an intense campaign from some of these 11 to gather these 1,500 generally signatures.
Yeah, yeah. I got a phone call, just a cold call from someone from one of those campaigns the day before Friday, Thursday, I think, begging me to sign.
Yeah. So in the run-up to Friday, these were candidates to be candidates, essentially.
Yeah, basically.
Now, as of yesterday, when the final list was published, we've got the 11 names. Now, we're going to be hearing a lot about them over the course of the month on Ruv. There are going to be debates, aren't there, firstly?
There, we will have our first debate of two this 3rd of May. Where all the 11 candidates will go head-to-head in here in our studios. So
one of the biggest studios.
Yeah, our biggest studio. We'll have to use the biggest one. I mean, this is a record number of candidates. Yeah. We in 2016, we had 9 of them. That was then a record, but now we have 11. It's quite a lot, but I mean, it's still less than we thought we could have a month ago, and we thought they might even be like 20 or something.
Well, we'll talk about the fact that it is a record year in a couple of moments' time, but just again on the process and in terms of what happens. Yep. We've got that debate then between all 11 on the 3rd of May, but that's not the only debate, is it?
No, and then we will have another one on the 31st of May, the day before the elections. That's that's something we've basically always done. We might switch up the format there a little bit. We haven't made a formal decision yet, but we've done it before, and it's on the advice of European election authorities who've advised us that having too many candidates at once taking part in the same debate, it might be detrimental to the discussion. So what we might do and did do in 2016 is split them up into two groups based on how they're polling, so that the half of candidates who are do have more following and more of a chance of actually becoming president, they will have their debate, and then the other ones, their own.
Now, the franchise, the people that can vote in this election, Icelandic citizens, essentially. So if you're in the country and you're an Icelandic citizen, you can vote.
Yes.
Obviously, citizens abroad can vote as well by going to embassies.
Yes.
And it's not like with some elections you have to vote on the day. You can vote in advance, can't you?
You can vote in advance, yes. It's like that in Iceland in almost every election. I'm not even sure what they're called in English. There are just places where you can go.
Polling places.
Polling places like a month in advance. And you can actually show up there more than once if you change your mind.
Oh, really?
If you go to a polling place or... I might be... There was a debate about changing this. It has been like that in the past, that you can show up as many times as you want, and the newest one is the one that's counted. It might be like... It might have changed so that you can only vote once in a polling station, and then you can turn up on the election day itself if you change your mind.
So how is the vote registered? Do we mark a cross on a piece of paper? Is it done electronically?
It's marked on a piece of paper.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's obviously registered to you. So if you do want to, if you are in the position that you want to change your vote, there must be some record
in
of it being tied to you.
In the polling places, you actually have to put it in an envelope. And it's marked on your name and social security number. And so, and then if you show up on election day, when the votes are counted, the one you voted in advance is just thrown away.
Okay. Now, obviously, there will be polling places open right across Iceland. across the country. Voting day, election day is the 1st of June, which is a Saturday. When do we expect there to be results? Because with previous elections, especially the ones that have been uncontested, but also the ones where there have been two candidates and a pretty clear idea of who's going to win, I imagine a result has come in more quickly than it's going to come in this time.
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't know how close it will be. If it's very close, we might have to wait a little bit longer for there to be a conclusive result. But I think most of us are expecting it to be conclusive enough just later that night. Like it's been in the past, like we shouldn't have to wait for much longer than maybe until 2 or 3 at night for there to be a conclusive enough result. But the final result, the actual number of votes, which the election commission publishes, I think that's only at first, like in 2 days' time or something.
Okay. I mean, I'm just thinking back to the coverage that I've done of elections in the UK, particularly parliamentary by-elections, waiting for those results to come in. And the number of times I've heard, oh, it should just be another 5 minutes, another 5 minutes, another 5 minutes. And it can go on right through the night, of course, can't it? So we're going to be cracking out the energy drinks and the coffee here at Roof.
But the fact is that the presidential elections in the past... I was going to say years, but decades.
Yeah.
Basically, they've never been that close. So we've usually got a conclusive enough result pretty early in the night. It's not like parliamentary elections, for example, where who's in and who's out can fluctuate into the early morning.
There's one winner.
There's one winner, and I mean, if there's a 10 percentage point gap.
Yes.
It's pretty clear
who won.
Yeah. But that's being said, it looks like this election could be a lot more exciting than the ones we've had in the past.
And already there's been a dramatic sort of change in the top four and the sequencing of the four candidates who are, the polls suggest, doing best at the moment. So that could all change again. But there is some bunching there at the top out of those of those four. Of course, there are 11 candidates in total. Who knows where we're going to be in a month? So it could be a very close election on the night, on the day.
Definitely, it could be. I mean, we have, we have of course, Katrín Jakobsdóttir, our former prime minister, was prime minister until like a month ago. Made the controversial decision to you know, declare for presidency.
And an unprecedented decision. No one had ever...
An unprecedented decision, yeah.
Yeah.
We have had a president before who was prime minister, but there was a gap between.
Yes.
And
that person didn't step down
no,
one day and then run the next.
And it was like 80 years ago.
Yeah.
So, or 70. So,
well, let's talk about the candidates then briefly. Yeah. We've mentioned Katrín Jakobsdóttir, former prime minister. Let's look at the other candidates in no particular order, any order that you choose.
Okay. So, if we start at the top, we have, of course, Baldur Þórhallsson. He's a professor of political science. Has been an outspoken guy in the past. Has been a commentator in the news. Very well versed in, you know, the presidency, the office of the president. He knows all this stuff. He used to be, how do you put it, a backup?
Oh, an alternate.
He was an alternate at the parliament for the Social Democrats. Okay.
So he didn't sit as an MP, but he was on the reserve benches, basically.
Yeah, and took a seat.
And did take a seat.
For a week and
those
a
backup benches. Okay.
So he has dabbled in politics as well. He has been doing very well, sometimes been first in the polls. Then you have the Halla Hrund Logadóttir, who's head of the Icelandic Institute for Energy. She took leave too to do this presidential bit. She's been polling really well.
She's at the top in some polls as we sit here on this Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah. And has been on a huge rise, basically the only candidate who's been on a rise at all in the past couple of weeks. Since she declared, she's the rise has been almost, you know, meteoric. She's gone from, you know, 3% almost
mid 20s.
Almost 30, I think, 28.9 in the last poll. Then you have Jón Gnarr, our comedian, very famous person in Iceland, used to be mayor.
Yeah.
He ran for the Reykjavik City Council with a sort of joke party that he founded. And to everyone's surprise, he won a huge victory and became mayor. And I think he's generally considered to have just done a pretty good job as mayor.
I first became aware of him in the UK when Nightorvakten, his comedy show, was shown on BBC Four on a Saturday night.
I mean, he's basically Iceland's biggest comedian.
Yes,
but he says he's very serious about becoming president.
Yeah. And when Zelensky got elected in Ukraine, some people pointed to Jón Gnarr and said, there's the precedent. Not the president,
exactly.
The president.
Yeah, and so. I mean, he was considered, of course, to be one of the front runners. He's been maybe polling a bit lower than a lot of people expected. He's been like 15-18%. Then you have Halla Tómasdóttir. The other Halla. She's been like, how do you put it? She's been sort of like this power woman type. She's been giving a lot of talks, TED talks and stuff. She actually ran in 2016 and did surprisingly well. Guðni, our incumbent president, was a few weeks away from before the actual elections, he was expected to run away with it.
Yes.
He was polling like he had almost 50%.
This was his first election.
This was his first election. In 2016. But she, in the last week, she just gained on him. And in the end, the difference was only like 10 percentage points.
So that's how much this race can change and has changed in previous
races.
And
I mean, a lot of people said then that if she would have had like one or two days more, she probably would have beaten him.
So things could have been very different. I do want to run through the other candidates. Yep. It's important that we talk about all candidates here.
Definitely.
Who are confirmed. So Arnar Thór Jónsson.
He's a former also alternate MP. For Sjálfstæðisflokkurinn, are the conservative party here in Iceland. He's a lawyer. He's been very vocal about certain certain things. He was very opposed to all restrictions on the COVID pandemic. Stuff like that. He's very skeptical of EU laws that we're adopting
as part of Iceland being in the EEA.
And that's sort of been his focal point in his campaign.
So some of these candidates are very political conventionally, and some are not. Ástis Thrawn Gunnarsdóttir.
She's very not conventionally political. Ástis Thrawn is a glamour model, basically. She's modeled for Playboy. She has lived for some while. She lives in Iceland now, but lived for quite a few years in Bulgaria, where she was known as the Ice Queen. She's very much not a conventional presidential candidate.
Okay. A name that's popped up in quite a few elections over the years, Ástþór Magnússon Wiim.
Yeah.
And I say quite a few. We're trying to count how many he's running.
This will be his fourth presidential election. And that's not counting two times where he's either not been able to gather the required number of signatures, or he's been disqualified because of there was something wrong with the list that he submitted.
So he's made some kind of effort in most of the contests.
Basically every time since 96, I think. Maybe there's been one time where he didn't try.
Yeah.
He's an advocate for world peace. That's basically been his, that's been the running theme in everything he's done for the past two decades. Peace 2000 was a campaign that he ran with in 96. He wanted world peace before 2000, and he had all sorts of methods to get there. I mean, he hasn't been president of Iceland, so maybe it's not his fault that we don't have world peace yet.
Is he running on a peace, I'm trying to add on, 2028 ticket?
No. But the peace thing is still very, very alive in his campaign. More people.
Okay, we'll see how he does this year.
Yeah.
Eiríkur Ingi Jóhannsson.
Yes, Eiríkur Ingi is probably the most surprising candidate. Basically because he didn't announce anything to anyone until very shortly before the last week, basically. His story is also pretty unconventional. He gained fame in Iceland for a short while. Like, I've forgotten how long ago. It's probably been like 10 to 15... More like 15 years ago, when he's a sailor, a seaman, and fisherman, and he was in this huge accident off the shores of Norway, where a lot of people died, but he didn't. And he survived in the ocean for like more than 24 hours and was rescued. It was considered a huge feat to be able to survive this. He had did a very famous interview here on Roof, a TV interview, a long one where he detailed what had happened. He was chosen, you know, person of the year. But since then, people haven't heard that much from him. He's occasionally... His name has occasionally been heard when he's doing, you know, some sort of, you know, physical feats like an Ironman challenge or marathons or stuff like that.
So this is a surprising return to the public eye for him.
I don't think you would have found many people like a couple of months ago who would have guessed that he would be in the running.
No, maybe he hadn't decided himself at that point.
Could be.
Let's look briefly at another candidate on the list, Helga Þórisdóttir.
Yeah, she's also a somewhat surprising candidate. She's for some years been the director of the Icelandic, you know, Personal Data Protection Office or Institute. Been a pretty regular guest in the news because of that. But... ambitions to become president weren't very obvious to anyone, I think, until she declared. So she actually, she was open about having problems. She only just managed to gather the necessary signatures to run. Was very open about that. It was quite a struggle for her. So, mm-hmm.
But she made it.
But she made it, and for her sake, let's hope things go better the next few weeks.
And the 11th candidate, Steinunn Olína Þorsteinsdóttir.
Yeah. Steinunn Olína is a pretty well-known actress in Iceland. Has been an actress for just, 30 years. And she's also been a media personality. She was the editor of a web scene, web newspaper, mm-hmm. called Kvennablaðið, women's paper. So yeah, that's her story. She said originally that she was thinking about running, and she would definitely run if Katrín Jakobsdóttir would, which was seen by some people as she was going head to head against her.
Yes.
She has since said that people shouldn't have taken her too seriously there, that
right.
she would have run anyway, but that maybe shows at least a bit of the motivation behind it.
Yeah. What's interesting about this race, I think, is, well, there's a couple of things. But firstly, it has drawn out with at least some of these candidates, surprising candidates, people that mm-hmm. you wouldn't have imagined would want to run or had ever expressed any interest in running. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is this time? Is it just because this is a genuinely competitive election? Is it because some of the top candidates, so to speak, are quite interesting? What's causing it?
I mean, I'm not sure. But it is somewhat similar to what happened in 2016, where we had 9 candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were, almost absolutely unknown people. Maybe even more unknown than the people who we have on the ballot now.
Mm.
Where almost everyone on the ballot now is known in some capacity.
Yeah.
In 2016, we had people there who basically only friends and family knew. What it is, I'm not sure. I don't know what's happening. They people see an opening. Some of them might be doing this to just get their name out there, yeah. for some other purpose than to actually become president, because it's obvious to some people that they're not gaining enough following to do it.
But we've talked about these signatures and the number of signatures that you need to qualify as a mm-hmm. candidate, which is somewhere between 1,500 and 3,000, yeah. depending yeah. on various other factors. Some people have said, with the Icelandic population increasing, that threshold has to go up. It's too low. Too many people can clear it. Is that maybe what's part of what's happening here? There are just more people around?
It might be. Other people have countered with it being just democratic for people to be able to put their name out there and be on the ballot. That and we've seen in the past few weeks that it hasn't been that easy for everyone to get 1,500 signatures.
No.
So, Katrín Jakobsdóttir has expressed an interest in making that number significantly higher.
You can't sign for more than one potential candidate, can
no.
you?
No. Yeah. If you do, you're stricken out of both lists.
Them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but of course, you have to wonder if it's normal to have had this number not increase at all for all of this time with the Icelandic population,
yes.
Doubling or something.
Now, it used to be a convention. It's obviously been broken in recent years, but it used to be a convention that if an incumbent president wanted to continue in office, he or she would not be challenged. And that's been the case in some presidential elections. It feels, doesn't it? Whoever wins this time is not going to be re-elected unopposed. Someone's going to want to challenge them, whoever it is, come next time.
This convention, if it ever was a convention, has... it has been broken in the past few years. Yeah. This is changing. You have people like Ástur Magnússon and also a man called Baldur Ágústsson, who they both used to run against Ólafur Ragnar Grímsson when he was president. Guðni got opposed by Guðmundur Franklin Jónsson in 2020, who had no chance, got like, I can't even remember. Still, I mean, he got like 12% or something. It was probably more people who were unhappy with what Guðni had been doing than they were actually excited about Guðmundur Franklin. Mm-hmm. It happened with Vigdís Finnbogadóttir as well.
Yes.
So, I mean, this hasn't been a rule, but if you go further back...
That's where you find those unopposed.
Yeah. Then you had unopposed presidents.
Yeah.
But this is changing, and I would tend to agree with you that we will probably have another candidate in 4 years' time.
Yes. All right. Well, listen, thank you very much, Tigo, for your time today. A busy month ahead, as
Definitely.
We have decided. Coverage continuing here right across Roof, but here on Roof English as well, on Roof English Radio this coming Friday. I'll be speaking to my colleague, Boy Austin, who is the voice that you hear introducing all the shows, of course, on Roof English Radio. So we'll be talking to him for a bit longer than that on Friday about the history of the presidency and sort of putting it into some kind of context and explaining what the role of the president is. Because, again, if you're listening from outside of Iceland, you might be thinking that this is a bit like the American presidential election, that Icelanders are going to be electing someone with a great deal of executive power, and that's actually not the case at all, as we'll find out on Friday and over the course of the month. Tigger, I'm glad you get back to your very busy desk of news.
Thank you.
For the course of the next few weeks. Tigger Helgason joining me today on Roof English Radio. I'm Darren Adam, and you can get in touch with us anytime. We are english@ruv.is.
There is more from Roof English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Roof English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Roof.